unusual dream that Yaakov Avinu had when he was running away from his brother Esav. So he visualized angels going up the ladder, going down the ladder. What is it supposed to represent? So the Gemara has different interpretations, and the Medrash has quite a few different interpretations. The one of the interpretations that appears in the Medrash is the following, that the angels that he saw represented the Tsar, the angel who's the guiding angel of each nation, and he saw every nation had a rise and a fall. The angel goes to the top of the mallet, then he goes down. That represents the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and the fall of the Greek Empire, the rise and the fall of the Egyptian, rise and the fall of America, unfortunately, every rise and fall of the Nazi Third Reich. Every nation has a rise and a fall. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yaakov Avinu, this part doesn't say in the Chumash, then the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yaakov Avinu, now it's your turn, I want you to go up the ladder. So Yaakov Avinu says, no, I don't want to go up the ladder, I'm going to go up, then I'm going to go down. I don't want to have a rise and a fall. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, don't worry, I'm going to hold your hand. You go up, and you'll go down, and if you'll have Salvechi get it on, if you'll draw a chart representing Jewish history, if you draw a chart of any other nation, so you draw a rise and a fall. That nation reaches a peak, and then they disappear from the scene of world history. If you draw a chart of Jewish history, it'll be zigzag, goes up and down, up and down. It says in the Chumash and Kriyat Shema, when we do the mitzvahs, we go up. When we do averus, we go down. The Ramban writes on Chumash that the principle, Ein Mazali Yisrael, the Gemara says that Jewish history is not subject to the rules of history. Jewish history is l'mayla min ha-teva. There's no shlitas ha-kochav ha-mazalos on Jewish history. So the Ramban says that whoever doesn't believe in Ein Mazali Yisrael is missing an ikar and emunah. He says, does it make sense that when we observe the mitzvah, Nesati Geshmeichem Be'itam, it's going to rain? And when we do Averis, we're going to have Avarta Meher Me'al Horetz HaToyva, we don't observe Shemitah, we'll be sent into Golos. Nothing makes any sense. Everything, all Jewish history is L'mayla Menatev. So that's a famous medrash on the parsha of the angels going up and going down, representing the Tsar of every Umma V'loshen. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want you to go up, and he's afraid. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha once, commenting on why we have Mocha Chodesh. Last Shabbos, Parshas told us, instead of saying the regular Haftarah from Malachi, he said a special Haftarah because Rosh Chodesh was on a Sunday. How come we don't have a Haftarah for when it's Erev Pesach, or it's Erev Shavuos, or Erev Sukkot, or Erev Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Only Mocha Chodesh, okay. So there's no Perek in Navi that starts Mocha Sukkot, Mocha Shavuos, okay. But he said he thinks that there's another explanation for this. So he said that the Medrash tells us on Parshas Bo, on the Pasuk HaChodesh HaZalochem, that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. What does it mean exactly? It's not exactly a lunar calendar. The Rambam says it's a hybrid. The years are solar years, and the months are lunar months. The years are solar years. We want Pesach to fall out in the Chodesh Aviv. And we want the Sukkot to fall out in the Chag HaAsev. It should be the season of the year, when after the end of the summer, when the farmers are taking in the Paris into the barns. So we have to adjust the years. Sometimes we put 13 months in a year to make sure that Pesach should be in the springtime and Sukkot should be in the fall. So the years are solar years, but the months are lunar months. So the Medrash draws a contrast. Medrash Rabban, the Pasuk HaChodesh HaLachem, draws a contrast between Jewish history and the history of the Umas Olam, that Jewish history is like the moon, that the moon, when it starts to appear, gets bigger, bigger, bigger till the middle of the month, till the 15th of the month, then it gets smaller, 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 then it disappears. Then the Gemara makes a statement, for 18 hours you can't see the moon. Yutcheshos mechasi sihara. The moon is invisible, you can't see. So the Medrash says, if you count in the Chumash, from Tanakh, you count how many generations are there from Avram Avinu till Shlomo HaMelech. So it says in the Medrash, 15 generations. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and so on. You go down till Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was the full moon. The Jewish nation was getting bigger and bigger. And during the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech, there was peace in Eretz Yisrael, and all of the Shvatim were together. There wasn't a split Malchus. And there was no problem of Parnassa. Everybody had enough money. Everything was wonderful. That was the peak. And then there were 15 generations from Shlomo HaMelech till Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. And then it's like the moon disappeared. Moon disappears, it's dark outside. So the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, the Melech Bavel blinded Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. And it's Tzidkiyahu Iver. Literally, he blinded him. He took out his eyes. So that represents that that's the same, that the moon is not shining, you can't see anything. So the Medrash says that the Jewish nation, we say when we say the Kiddush Levana, Shehim Hasidim Lehischadesh Kamoisa, that the Jewish people will renew itself, just like the moon. The moon disappears, then it reappears again. So the Jewish people are the same. So the Medrash draws this contrast between Jewish history and non-Jewish history. That by the Umas Olam, they count to the sun. They have everything as a solar calendar. So the Medrash says sun rises, sun sets, and goodbye. Either the sun rises again tomorrow, I don't know. But the Medrash understands that you see the sunrise, sunset, and then that represents all the nations of the world. They reach a peak, and then they disappear. Like the Malachim Olam Yordambo, every nation disappears. And the Jewish people is like the moon that we know in advance, that it's going to disappear for 18 hours, and it's going to reappear again. We go up, we go down. So Rav Soloveitchik said, many of the Haftaras were introduced by the rabbis to be Mechazik, the Emun, and Bias HaMashiach. Many of the Haftaras talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, and they talk about Bias HaMashiach. The Pasuk says in Malachi, Malachi was the last of the prophets. The Gemara in Yuma says that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told the Jewish people, disappears in Shir HaShirim. Shlomo HaMelech wrote, let's go back a little further. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. It wasn't going to last forever. They were told this at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. Chet HaMeraglim, according to the Medrash, occurred on Tisha B'Av. And then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told them, they cried for nothing. I'm going to make this day a day to cry for all the future generations. So Rabbeinu Shel Olam told them already, in the Chumash it's not that explicit, but it says it in Tehillim, and it says it in Yecheskel, that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told that when they'll come into Eretz Yisrael, they'll be chased out. There will be a golus. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was going to be destroyed. It wasn't going to last forever. And he said, Baruch HaKodesh, the psukim that appear in Shir HaShirim, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash? Will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? Will that also be destroyed? So he said, the psukim say, M'chaymo hi nivna leha tiras kesef, v'mdelesi notzo lalu achoriz. So the Gemara understands this is an additional level of interpretation. This is not pshuto shal mikra. M'chaymo hi, it's in the first parak in Gemara Yuh, M'chaymo hi, imyalu kachoymo. If all the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the 70 years of Golas Bavel, then nivna leha tiras kesef, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like made from silver. She'ein harekeb sholit bo, it won't rot. Second Beis HaMikdash will not rot. What does it mean? Gemara says it means two things. Number one, second Beis HaMikdash will be everlasting. It won't be destroyed. And number two, the Jewish people won't rot. We will still be given Nevi'im, to give us Musa, to give us Tochacha. However, if it'll be a Shvach Aliyah, Dalas Om, hardly anybody's going to show up after the 7 years of Golas Bavel. Hardly anybody's going to show up. Lamaiso, hardly anybody showed up. There were millions and millions of Jews living in Bavel after the 7 years of Golas Bavel, and 44,000 Jews were changed, came back to Eretz Yisrael. And the whole purpose of coming back to Eretz Yisrael was to rebuild, to complete the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, to bring Karbonis. Ezra stops in the middle, it says in the Psukim, by a river, and he starts to take account how many Kohanim, how many Levim are. So he says there were enough Kohanim, there weren't enough Levim to run a Beis HaMikdash. So he told everybody, stay here, I have to go schlep more Levim. Had to go back to Bavel and schlep more Levim. Hardly anybody showed up at the beginning of the Bais Sheni. So this curse, the curse of the Rabban Shalom, was fulfilled. In Delasi, if hardly anybody will show up, Notzu Alei Lu Achores, the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden bungalow, like a wooden hut, wooden buildings, Shaharekeb Shalabo, they will rot away. So what sense will it rot away? Number one, the second Beis HaMikdash will also be doomed to destruction. It won't be everlasting. And number two, that there won't be any more Nevi'im. Rabban Shalom is punishing the Jewish people. Let him do all the averes and let him burn Gehenna. I'm not going to send any more Nevi'im to them. But the Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im Olavim Maim Abobo, three prophets he had to send because he wanted the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And Halacha says, the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, the Shichna Sidushu Uvasa Shama, and the Tanoim had a tradition, the Shichna Sidushu Drosh Al Pi Novi. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash unless you have express approval of Nevi'im. So the Gimel Nevi'im, Chagas Chai Malachi, were the last three Nevi'im that we had. And they, each one of them gave a nevuah about a certain aspect of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. And then Malachi is the last one of the Nevi'im. Who was Malachi? The Gemara says in Sefer Ezra, Ezra always referring to his two associates, Chagai Malachi, Chagai and Zechariah. He never refers to Malachi. How come Ezra, they were all three Nevi'im in the same period. Each one gave a each one gave a nevuah on a different aspect of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara was wondering, how come Ezra never refers to Malachi, he only refers to Chagas Charya? So the Gemara had a tradition. Ezra was Malachi. He had two names. It's the same person. So he doesn't talk about himself. He talks about his two associates, Chagas and Zechariah. So Malachi was the last of the three Nevi'im in the beginning of the Baal Sheni period, and he signs off the end of the Nevuah. And Malachi signs up, Zichru Taras Moshe Abdi, you better heat up the mitzvahs, keep the mitzvahs. I'm the last Navi. The Baal Shalom is not going to send any more Nevi'im to give you Tochacha. He's angry because hardly anybody showed up. And he said in advance, if it's going to be delicy, not so Allah, it's going to be like a wooden hut, that Shaharekab Shalabah is going to rot away, won't be on Ranavim. So he says, Zichar Teres Moshe Abdi, better observe the mitzvahs, I'm the last Navi. And then he says, Hira Nechushalech Lechem Seleh HaNovi Lethnei Bayom Hashem Agarul Vanor, I'm going to send Eliyo HaNovi the day before Mashiach comes. That's how the Gemara and Erevin understands Pshat in the Pasuk. So when we recite Haftarah every Shabbos morning, every Shabbos in Yontov, when we say Haftarah, so one of the brachas that we recite after the completion of the Haftarah is Samcheinu Hashem Elokeinu Be'elyo HaNovi Avdecha Malchus Beis David Mishichecha. That's one of the brachas. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out because quite a few of the Haftarahs were chosen for the purpose of being Mechazik the Emunah in Bias HaMashiach and Bias Eliyo HaNovi before Mashiach comes. So this Haftarah also, the Mocha Chodesh Haftarah, not so much that they chose Haftarah to announce that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. They don't have Haftarah from Mocha Shavuos and Mocha Sukkos and Mocha Pesach. The reason why they chose Mocha Chodesh is because the Gemara says for 18 hours the moon disappears in between when it's the Moilat Halavana. And the Medrash said that there were 15 generations representing the first 15 days of the month till you reach the full moon, the 15th of the month. So that was from Avraham Avinu till Shlomo HaMelech were 15 generations. And then it was getting weaker, weaker, weaker after Shlomo HaMelech died. Then the Malchus was split. There were two, Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda, and then there were Tzoras Tzruras, and then till Tzidkiyahu HaMelech was the 15th generation after Shlomo HaMelech. Meini Tzidkiyahu he there. So we're still, what's Mocha Chodesh? If tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, means that today the moon is invisible for 18 hours. So the last 2,500 years, we are in a Bechina Mocha Chodesh. The Malchus disappeared at the time of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, and then the second Beis HaMikdash, there was Malchus HaChashmonaim. Deep into the Baal Sheni period, a little over 200 years before the Churban Baal Sheni, so the Chashmonaim won the battle, and then they ran the show for a couple of years, but that wasn't Malchus Beis David. There wasn't the Malchus HaNev Cheres. It's supposed to be Malchus Beis David. It's supposed to be. So the next Malchus Beis David is going to be after Eliyahu HaNavi comes. So now we're in a certain sense, we're all in a Mechina. The last 2,500 years, it's a Mechina, Mocha Chodesh. The moon disappeared, and we're waiting that it should reappear. And the theme of Haftarah is also about Bias HaMashiach. The theme of Haftarah is that even though Shaul HaMelech was so upset he was so jealous of David and he wanted to kill him and he was so angry at his son Yonason, that Yonason was so friendly with David, but David and Yonason were the best of friends, and Yonason gives up the Malchus to David HaMelech. They were the best of friends. So the question begs itself, why did Yonason give up the Malchus for David if they're such good friends? So David could give up the Malchus for Yonason. Only the friendship only goes in one direction. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, no, they heard the Nevuah, that if David will be appointed the Melech, then the Haftacha, that Malchus Beis David will last into the future. And even though now it disappeared, now there's no Malchus Beis David, but in the end of days, Eliyahu Navi will come before Melech HaMashiach, and the Malchus Beis David will reappear again. So that's why they chose this Haftarah. This Haftarah speaks about the choice of Yehoinasen to give up and the Malchus to David, because they knew the Haftacha of the Navi. If David will become the Melech, there will be a Melech HaMashiach. So the whole purpose of this Haftarah, the choice of this Haftarah, is to be Mechazik the Emunah and be as HaMashiach. And now we're still in the Bechina of the 18 hours where the moon is invisible. That's what it means, the Mocha Chodesh is now. It's interesting, the Medrash has different interpretations, quite a few different interpretations regarding the Cholam of Yaakov Avinu. What did it represent? The Malach Mola Biordimbo. The Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who was the outstanding student of the Vilna Gaon, has in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, he has an interpretation based on another view in the Medrash Rabbah that runs as follows. He quotes a passage from the Zohar that you have in the Chumash. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avraham Avinu by the Akedah Avraham, Avraham. So he calls him twice, and you have Yaakov, Yaakov, and you have Moshe, Moshe. So in the printed Chumash, in the Sefer Torah, you don't have it. In the printed Chumash, you have a bar, vertical bar, in between Avraham, Avraham, in between Yaakov and Yaakov. So the Zohar has the expression that Avraham, Avraham, there's a psik begabe, there's a line, there's a vertical bar, implying that the Baal Kori should pause slightly when he says Avraham, Avraham. And Moshe, Moshe, there's no psik begabe, and the Baal Kori should read Moshe, Moshe quickly, shouldn't pause in between. What is that supposed to represent? That Avraham, Avraham, Yankam, Yankam, there is a psik begabe. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhin explains as follows, and then he follows with this medrash on the Yankam Avinu's Cholom of the Malachim. He says, Avraham Avinu had a certain potential when he was born into the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave him certain talents, and he had a potential to develop, to be, everyone has a certain potential to become a great person. So the Zohar says that the Avraham, the way he really was, as great as he was, didn't live up to his potential. There's a pause in between what he could have become and what he actually became. And Yaakov Avinu also, psik begabe, the first Yaakov is the Yaakov in heaven, the image of Yaakov in front of the Kisei HaKavod. And then the way Yaakov was is not exactly the same. He didn't live up to his full potential. Moshe Rabbeinu lived up to his full potential. He did everything in his koyach to get everything over to Avodas Hashem. That's how the Radak comments on the Pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yeshua Benon, Moshe Avdi Meis. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu called an Eved? So we have a din in the Gemara. They call Moshe a Kohen Eved, Kohen Rabbah. The Eved has nothing for himself. Eved Knaini. Everything goes to the Yodin. Moshe Rabbeinu gave all of his wife, all of his life, all of his kerchas, all of his kishron, he gave to the Baruch Shalom. He didn't keep anything for himself. That's how Rashi and Chumash quotes the passage from the Medrash on the Pasuk. He never took care of his own things. He only took care, he gave over his whole life to the Tzorchei HaKlal, to the Ribbono Shel Olam's purpose. So that's why by Moshe Moshe, the Zohar says there is no psik begabe, because the potential that Moshe Rabbeinu had, the ability to become and who he actually was the same thing. There was no discrepancy. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner continues to interpret the Medrash. This part appears in the Gemara already in Chulin, Perigid Anoshe, the Malachim Olam Yordanbo. So the Gemara has different interpretations with the Malachim going up and going down at the same time. That's one opinion in the Gemara, that a Malach is so wide, the Gemara says, what the width of a Malach is, the Gemara says, how wide were the steps on the ladder? So the Gemara says, if there were angels going up, going down at the same time, so there was enough room on the step on the ladder for four angels, each angel is so wide. And if there are two going up and two going down at the same time, so you have to have room for four angels at the same time. So that's one opinion in the Gemara. Then the Rav Chaim Volozhiner says the next Gemara has a different opinion based on the Medrash also has like that. The same Malachim who went up came down. There weren't four Malachim at the same time. There were only two Malachim. Two Malachim went up to heaven, and they saw Demus de Yukna Shealai Yankiv Chakuk al Kisei HaKovid. It says in Sefer Yecheskel that on the Kisei HaKovid, there are four heads. There's Demus, Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, and Demus Adam. And the Midrashim say, who's the Demus Adam, the human figure? Whose face is it? Yaakov Avinu's face is there. So Malachim went up to heaven, and they looked on the Kisei HaKovod, whatever that means, and they see Demus, the Yukna Shei Yaakov Avinu. Then they come down to earth, and they see, this man has such great potential. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. The guy with such potential, he shouldn't be sleeping. He was knocked out, according to the Medrash. He was learning in Yeshiva of Shem Yehva for 14 years before he had this dream. And he didn't sleep. He almost didn't sleep for 14 years. He was learning so much. But the Malachim see him now. This man has such great potential. They come down, you see the man asleep. And so the Gemara has Biksha Lahargoi. They wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. He's not living up to his full potential. Then the Pasuk says, Hine Hashem Nitzav Olav. So then two interpretations in the Medrash. Olav means God is standing on top of the ladder. There's a Sulam Mutzav Arsha. Olav means on top of the ladder. Hashem Nitzav Olav on Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara interprets Hashem Nitzav Olav on Yaakov Avinu to protect him from the angels, to prevent the angels from hurting him. The Gemara gives a mashal, like if a parent has a child who's sick in bed, so the parent is going to be there standing on top of the baby and chasing away all the flies and keeping all the people away. They shouldn't harm their baby. So the Ribbono Shel Olam Nitzav Olav on Yaakov Avinu to protect him, that the angels shouldn't harm him. Why was it Biksha Lahargoi? Because they saw the Musta Yukna Shal Yankov, Chakuk al Kisei HaKovod, and then they see he doesn't live up to his full potential. So the Bikshu Lahor. So this is Rav Chaim Volozhin's interpretation based on the passage. It's in the Zohar about the Moshe and the Yankov, and based on the Gemara, the Bikshu Lahor, he puts all of this together. This is his interpretation. There's a famous issue that the commentaries bring up with respect to this week's Parsha. The Yankov Avinu marries two sisters. So the Mishnah tells us that Avram Avinu kim kala Torah kula ad shelo nitna. Avram Avinu was able to figure out all of the mitzvahs, even though he was only given the mitzvah bris milah. He wasn't given the additional mitzvahs. He had seven mitzvahs ben enoch. He had one additional mitzvah of bris milah. Nonetheless, he looked into the world. He was able, the Gemara has, Medrash has an expression, had kloyas yotzos. His kidneys advised him, and he was able to figure out what all the mitzvahs were. That's based on the Midrashim, on the opening psukim in the beginning of Bereshis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world based on using the Torah sort of as a blueprint. So if you have the world, you can figure out what the blueprint was. So Avraham Avinu was successful. He looked into the world, and he had an understanding. He was able to figure out what the Taryag mitzvahs were all about. So he volunteered to observe the mitzvahs on his own. So the Mefarshim assumed that Avraham Avinu volunteered to observe all the mitzvahs before they were given. They assume the same is probably true. It never says it in the Gemara. They assume the same was probably true with respect to Yitzchak Avinu and Yankov Avinu. So that's where they're bothered with the question, how can it be that Yankov Avinu marries two sisters, which the Torah is going to prohibit at a later time? So the Maharal Prague has in his commentary on Chumash a famous explanation. He says that there is a concept, let's say women are not obligated to shake a lulav, women are not obligated to listen to Tkiya Shofar, but the women usually go to shul to hear the Tkiya Shofar. The women usually shake a lulav, and we, the Ashkenazim, even recommend a woman can say a brocha if she wants to say a brocha, even though it's not 100% true. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu, they're not obligated, but they have the same kedusha as the men. So in that sense, it's true. Kedusha yisav means kedusha. There's no such thing as abstract kedusha. If the women have the same level of kedusha as the men, so that means that they have shaychas, but the mitzvahs to the same extent. They're not mechuyev to do the mitzvahs, but if they do it, so they're doing it based on the kedushas Yisrael that they have. So there is a concept of volunteering to observe a mitzvah as an eina mitzvah v'yosef. Does it make sense to volunteer a lois essay as an eina mitzvah v'yosef? What do you mean? In an avera, let's say you're not allowed to shave with a razor, but with an electric shaver, many poskim assume that it is permissible. So a person is going to volunteer, he's not going to shave with an electric shaver. What is he volunteering? There's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah over here. There's an avera, not allowed to shave. A kohen is not allowed to be metamei lemesim. If you're not a kohen, you are allowed to go to a cemetery. I'm going to volunteer to be like a kohen. What are you gaining over here? If you're not a kohen, it doesn't make sense to observe a lois essay. There is no essay over here. It makes sense to volunteer as an eina mitzvah yosef, to volunteer a mitzvah essay, because there's a kiyum mitzvah. But it doesn't make sense to volunteer not to be metamei lemesim. I'm not a kohen. I'm not going to marry a grusha. Why not going to marry a grusha? My wife happens not to be a grusha. But it doesn't make sense to volunteer a lois essay. If you're not Muzer, so it doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Maharal Miprag says, that the prohibition against marrying two sisters is not a mitzvah essay, it's a mitzvah leis essay. So that's why it didn't make sense that we should hold Yankov Avinu responsible. He should have volunteered to observe the mitzvah leis essay. According to Matan Torah, they weren't mitzvah. So it only makes sense for the others to volunteer mitzvah essay. It doesn't make sense that they should volunteer to observe mitzvah leis essay. But others give different answers. So one of the famous answers is from Rav Elvel Soloveitchik. In our generation, everybody likes to quote things from Rav Elvel Soloveitchik. So he gave the following answer. The prohibition against marrying two sisters only applies if you have Ishus Yisrael. If you're married to the first sister, let's say someone had an affair with a woman, he's allowed to marry the sister. Only if he married one sister, then it's forbidden to marry the second sister. So marrying haste, there's an Ishus Yisrael. When two Jewish people get married, that's called Kiddushin Topsin. When non-Jews get married, there's also an institution of marriage, but it's a different type of issues. There are different aspects to the marriage. There's no din of seita, asur, labayla, different halachas apply. So that's where Rav Elvel Soloveitchik said, you can volunteer all you want, but kodem matan Torah, there was no institution of Ishus Yisrael. So fine, Yankov Avinu marries first Leah, but then there's nothing prohibiting him from marrying the sister. There was no Ishus Yisrael then. There was only an Ishus B'nei Noach. So that's why there was no prohibition. Others give different answers. They suggest that the Emohes had to convert. Avraham Avinu had a Kedushas Yisrael, so his son, Ki Biyitzchak Yikor Lachazera, his son had a Kedushas Yisrael. Not all of his children, he had, Avraham Avinu had Yishmael, and he had Yitzchak, and he had children from Hagar. So the Baruch Shalom told him, only one of your children will be Jewish. Ki Biyitzchak Yikor Lachazera, there's two different words in Hebrew, one is Bein and one is Zera. So Bein is a biological child. So Avraham Avinu had a lot of biological children. He had Yishmael and he had all the Bnei Keturah, the eight Bnei Keturah. But Zera means if you have an apple and you have a seed, you plant a seed, you're going to get another apple tree. Then those apples on that tree are going to have seeds. You plant those, you're going to get another apple tree. Zera means Zera Kosher, not Zera Pasa. Zera means the children who follow in the footsteps of the parents. So that's, Tosis points that out. So based on Gemaris. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Ki B'Yitzchak Yikor Lachazera, only Yitzchak is going to be Zera. Only Yitzchak is going to have Kedushas Yisrael. Then Yitzchak Avinu had twins. He had Yaakov and Esav. So one would have thought if one is Jewish, the other one is also Jewish. They're both twins from the same mother, the same conception. They weren't identical twins. One was full of hair and one was not, but they were twins. So the Pasuk says, Ki bi Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. That not all the children of Yitzchak will be Zer Avraham, only Yaakov Avinu and Esav not. Yaakov was mitosa shleim, all of his children were Jewish. So that's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and all the Shvatim. So from that time on, from the days of Yaakov Avinu on, Mitos Shlema means all of his children are Jewish. And now when we marry a Jewish girl, so all the children are Jewish. We have nine children, Baruch Hashem, they're all Jewish. Okay. But then they had to marry the Emois. So they had to convert the Emois. Avram, after Avram Avinu became Jewish, but the Bris Milah, so his son Yitzchak was Jewish, Yishmael was not, and his son Yaakov was Jewish, and Esav was not. And Yaakov Avinu, all of his children were Jewish, and so on. But they had to convert Rivka, and they had to convert Rachel and Leah. So since they had to convert, because their father was not Jewish, their parents were not Jewish. So when they converted, so we have a rule, Gershon is Gayer, Kekotn Shanala Domi. When a non-Jew converts, so he's not related to his former relatives. So Rachel and Leah started off as sisters, but then when they converted, they were no longer related. So mid the Rabbanon, there is a din, but this din, the Rabbanon, wasn't yet instituted. Mid the Rabbanon, there is a din that even a Gershon is Gayer, is not allowed to marry his sister. Biblically, he's allowed to marry his own sister. Or someone is permitted to marry two sisters who are both converted. But mid the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to, because if we'll see the Ger marrying two sisters, the Jews may think they're also allowed to marry two sisters. So people won't understand it. So that's what some of Farshim say, that because Rachel and Leah had to both convert, because Yaakov Avinu didn't have to convert, he was Jewish from birth. But Rachel and Leah were from Aram Naharaim. They were not Jewish, their parents were not Jewish, so they had to convert. So they didn't require their Gersh and Izgar cut and Shana Ledami. So that's why there was no violation in marrying two sisters. It's interesting, the commentaries point out, when we start the davening of Shemoneh Esrei, we say Lekeinu v'lekei Avoseinu, Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov. So if Avraham Avinu, if at the time of Har Sinai, Maamad Har Sinai was the Gerus, we spoke yesterday about Gerus. So one of the dinim of Gerus, we learn all the dinim of Gerus from Maamad Har Sinai. So one of the dinim of Gerus is that the Gershon is Gayer, is not related to anybody until he gets married. He loses his original relative, is not related to anybody. So if you're not related to anybody, how do we still say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu? We brag that we are the descendants, we're the biological descendants of Avraham Yitzchak, but we can no longer refer to them as Elokei Avoseinu. How do we refer to them, our forefathers? So the Shev Shmaitzer has the introduction to his sefer Zol Agadita. He writes, the minig is that when you write a sefer on halacha, you write an introduction that has Agadita. So the Shev Shmaitzer is all halacha, but Roy Vechazoka and Sveik Sveik are all real halacha. But he has an introduction that's all Agadita. So in the Hagdamah, he quotes a line from the Maharal Miprag that you only apply Gershon as God Kodeshan Aladami when an individual Jew converts. On the Gerus of Klal Yisrael, on the occasion of Maim Hasina, you don't apply the principle of Gershon as God Kodeshan Aladami. Why? That's why we still have the Yichus, we still Mesiachas after Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, because the rule of Kodeshan Aladami doesn't apply. Why should Maimon Hasina be an exception to the rule? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, we learn out from Psukim, something we spoke about this morning, we learn out from Psukim that if a Jew marries a non-Jewish woman, there's no Tvisis Kiddushin. Or if a non-Jewish man marries a Jewish girl, there's no Tvisis Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, based on the same pasuk, there's no tvisas kiddush. It means you can't have any relationship at all. If you have a brother and a sister, and one converts, and one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, they used to be brother and sister. But as soon as one converts, so one is Jewish, the other one is not Jewish, so they're not related anymore. You can't have any yachas, can't have any kurv. Then when the second one relates, I become a brother at the age of 25. Either you're a brother and a sister at the time you were born, or you're not going to be brother and sister. So that's why there's a rule of, it's not that gerus is a shock treatment and you're a new person after you come out of the treatment. No, gerus and mizgayer, they're not mizgayer at the same split second. One is mizgayer first, one goes to the mikveh first, the other goes to the mikveh second. In order to convert, you have to go to a mikveh. So when the first of the two, a brother and a sister, when the first one converts, so that one is Jewish and the other one is not Jewish. So the yachas, the kurva that they had, disappears into thin air. Then when the second one converts, you can become brother and sister in the middle of your life. So that's why there's a rule of Kukotin Shinal Adami. But at Maimon Har Sinai, there's one national geris of all of Klal Yisrael. True, they had to bring, each one had to be toivel in the mikveh individually, but they brought one set of karbonis for everybody. So Al-Pidin was considered one national geris. That's what we explained yesterday on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai. They read from a Sefer Abris. They had to read from a contract. And Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, the contract was from Bereshis till Parshas Yisro, till Maimon Har Sinai. That was the Sefer Abris. So later in the days of Mordechai Yester, when there was another Kabbalah Satorah, a national Kabbalah Satorah, so there was again reading from a Sefer Abris. That's Megillas Esther, was the second Sefer Abris. But the fact that there was a national Geirus on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, it wasn't one after the other. If you would have an individual geirus, one person converts, the other one is still an non-Jew, so then at that moment they're no longer related. Then when the second one converts, the vayta are not related. You can't become brother and sister in midlife. But there was one national geirus on all of Klal Yisrael, so that's why they were all non-Jews, and then a split second later they all became Jewish. So they remained with the kurva from before. But Rachel and Leah, that's what some of them first said. Rachel and Leah converted one after the other. When Leah married, when the first one had to get married, so she converted. When the second one had to get married, she converted. Each one converted separately. So there you apply the rule of Kukot and Shonol Adomi.